702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 23 minutes to 2, and our focus now is on retrenchments because we are living in quite a tough time economically in this country, and we keep hearing reports that we're on the verge of a global recession, that it's going to happen this year, especially with the trade wars between the US and China, that could be part of the consequence. But if we look at retrenchments, it is a process. It is not an event, and it can play itself out over a long period of time. And it can affect individuals involved. It can affect your overall well-being, your emotional well-being. And the reality is that it has affected South Africa with the current global financial crisis, the local economic environment. A lot of companies are reducing employee numbers, and some realize the need for increased efficiencies, and that's why they go this route. But regardless of the state of the economy, retrenchment usually catches people by surprise and can lead to a lot of panic. So let's join now my guest this afternoon. That's Claire Gilchrist. She's a retrenchment coach, and she joins us in studio to talk about this change, because it's an overall change, you know, from being employed to unemployed. And but in its very nature, change is something that can be very stressful for many of us. So we'll take your calls on this question and your experiences on 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. Claire, it's a joy to have you in studio. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Azania. It's lovely to be here.
So you yourself have been retrenched in the past.
I have indeed. It happened to me about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was extremely unexpected. Quite honestly, what I went through, I suppose you could call a farce. We signed the Section 189 letter that you're required to sign for retrenchment of the Labor Relations Act. But I was very ignorant in those days, and I didn't actually go and do my homework on it.
Right.
And the powers that be stressed that this was entirely a job expansion exercise, and that six of us were invited, and we were top management, were invited to expand our jobs. And I was actually quite excited. There was a lot of opportunity. We brainstormed with higher management. So I really thought in my naivety then that I was going to create different aspects to my job and some stuff I really wanted to do. And one fine day, 6 weeks later, I got called into an office. I got given a letter saying, we're not doing any of that. Thank you. Sign here. You won't be required to work any notice period. You'll get paid for that. You can leave immediately.
Yes, yes.
And it wasn't nicely done. The shock was extraordinary. And it was a year before I actually found myself back on my feet. The interesting thing, though, for me as a coach, and I have been a coach for over 12 years now, either part-time or
full-time.
So this
was an added, yes, yes.
It was an added.
Yeah.
What was so interesting was, in hindsight, I suddenly realized what I hadn't actually realized, if you want to put it that way, at the time. And there were two very important things. The first one was that it is a process, as you've just said. It's not something that you just walk out of and go, okay, well, quickly, let me just get my CV out there and we'll just try and get on to the next thing.
Yes.
First of all, you've got a massive amount of emotional fallout to get through. You feel, you know, before I get on to that, it's the loss of your community.
Yes.
You've been going to work every day. You drive the same route in the traffic.
It's ritual.
It's a ritual. Exactly. You get to work. You have people to talk to. It's your routine.
Yeah.
You eat breakfast with people. You have your work. And suddenly you go to nothing. You're at home. You feel depleted. You feel somewhat worthless. Your self-esteem can take a major knock. And then comes the issue of failure.
Yeah.
Have I failed? Of course.
Do we end up directing that question to ourselves?
Yes,
we do. As in this part of it is self-blame beyond the shock, the aspects of depression that you've described.
Do you know that most companies don't run the retrenchment process correctly? It's actually a consensual and a negotiable process. You are required to consult for 6 weeks so that you know what's coming up. Defend your job. If it happens to you, yes, at least you were prepared. But look, regardless, it's still a shock.
Do you think that's why there can be deception? Because, as you said, you can defend your job.
You can. Look, deception, I think, comes from a variety of motives.
Yeah.
One of them, partly, I think a lot of HR departments are scared to actually confront this. It's very hard to sit and look people in the eye and go, I'm sorry, we're actually going to get rid of you.
Yeah.
So people get a letter saying, I'm sorry, in a month you'll be retrenched. You know, people need to do their homework. You can read up on any of the good sites, LegalWise, et cetera, et cetera. The whole process is outlined for you. But the process that I then have developed for clients now, and I have quite a few at the moment, is that, first of all, figure out if you need to fight.
Right.
Know your rights. Decide how you're going to tie this up. Yes, you owed severance pay, notice pay, pension, it's not taxed, etc. Find out exactly what is owing to you. If they run it in the wrong way, do decide if you're going to stay and fight. Because yes, in one way, it might be very good. In another way, I have seen people get so entangled in that fight that they don't think about moving forward. And it's even more of a shock when they then got to move forward on the issue. Second of all, the emotional process. The failure, the fear. How do I go forward? What have I done? Nobody really talks to you about why you've been retrenched.
Right.
If the process isn't run correctly. So.
And why you? Because.
And why you? Exactly.
There will be some workforce that is retained.
Yeah. So emotionally, I as a coach this year actually developed a little slogan called Feel, Deal and Heal.
Right.
If you don't feel it, you're never going to deal with it and you're never going to heal from it.
So stay in the pain, in the
shock. In the pain for a bit.
For a bit,
work with someone, preferably if you can, to get over it. Explore those feelings, get them out and release them. Because if you don't, you might find yourself a year later completely and utterly stuck. Sitting there, not able to move forward because there's obviously a plan somewhere.
What keeps us stuck? What makes us, like you said, we do need to process these emotions. Is it that we still long for what was? Because there are circumstances around us that should kick us into gear. But obviously at an emotion level, it's still possible for you to really stay stuck.
You know, bottled up emotion can cause such a variety of issues. Yeah. One of them is stuckness. Obviously the next level becomes depression and anxiety. And I find a lot of clients going through this process have become depressed, quite anxious, and actually don't have the, there's a wonderful Afrikaans word, the moed to go forward. And haven't actually looked at what else they can do. And of course that takes us on to the next step.
Yes.
Once you've tied up legalities and you've worked through the emotions, the third step is be proactive. In the Covey sense, you know Stephen Covey, the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I love that. I teach that quite a lot. Or coach it, should I say, rather. Being proactive means that you have choice. Make a really good choice as to how you're going to go forward with this.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other proactive, get going, which leads me on to the fourth point. If you consider, and this is a little left of center, but this is something that I work with a lot, what if this wasn't entirely random? What if your life has a sort of a map?
Yes, things are imperfectly perfect.
Things are, yes, they're imperfectly perfect. And what if your life had a sort of a little road that you're following that branches off here and there and gives you choice here and there? But that you possibly needed a bit of a kick, you know where, to get moving.
What was yours?
A kick to get moving.
Yes, but into what? That you weren't necessarily doing. Well, you needed this kick to get you there.
I needed a kick to get out of what I was doing.
Right.
I take the philosophy that you were placed where you needed to be, generally to learn. And I had learned. And there wasn't really much more for me to do. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. I might still be there.
And doing the coaching just as a little part-time.
As a sideline and not full-time. Exactly. Yeah. So you've got to change your perspective. That's probably the most important thing. Don't be a victim. You know that line in the poem, which is so beautiful, called Invictus? I am the captain of my soul. Get going. What is it I haven't looked at? What else could I be doing? Is it a sideways jump into another job, perhaps with better benefits or better pay that I just haven't had the guts to go looking for? Should I look at something else on my CV that I haven't done for a long time? What is my passion? What is my purpose?
But the thing is, there's your confidence has taken a knock. So how do you, the work that it requires for you to regain confidence. No doubt it starts in the mind, but for you to get to that point, you would have had to
work a process. Work
some process to regain your confidence, because it's taken a huge knock.
It has taken a huge knock. And you see, for me, confidence also relates back to the emotions. The moment you clear, preferably with a little bit of professional help if you can, some of the stuff like fear and failure and where to. And if you work with a coach and you go, right, let's look forward. What are the possibilities?
Yeah.
I had someone very recently who's immensely talented in her arena, very top earner, retrenched, but had absolutely no idea of who she is and what else she can possibly do.
Our jobs are identifiers. Yes.
When you start realizing who and what you are, and maybe also identifying, dare I say it, your purpose, that's when the confidence returns, because you suddenly go, okay, I have a mission again. Face it, we all need a mission in life.
Yeah.
And sometimes your job is not your mission.
Right.
Your job is just your job.
Yes, but what is your life's work?
Exactly.
Because there's work and there's job. There's a job, just to create that distinction. Please put your headphones on, Claire. We're taking calls, by the way, this afternoon, 011-883-0702. The lines are always open to you. And this afternoon, we're talking to Claire Gilchrist, who is a coach, but has added the aspect of retrenchment coach to her coaching after her own experience 6 years ago. So what are you going through at the moment? What are your questions regarding retrenchment? 011-883-0702. Tulani, let's start with you. You're out in Centurion. Hello.
Avani, how are you?
Good. Welcome, Tulani.
Thank you. Avani, what Claire is going through, I actually went through it twice, even most recently. But what I find it to be a problem, because I don't know what was her position before, but mine was in the same space, you know, as a labor specialist, so I'm the one who facilitates this retrenchment and all that. However, with that said, it is quite sad that the system in the country has set us, or many of the people who are in the labor market, to actually that when they leave that space, there is no other alternative. And that is why they are usually frustrated, they are usually stressed. And the companies, and I understand some companies would offer some counseling and whatnot, but it is always done just to facilitate the Section 189 process so that they fulfill what they need to do. But the after effects, there is no company that can be held liable, because the law, it is what it is right now. And it is quite sad. Some people die of stress, depression, they never find job, you know, families, divorces, all these kind of things. And those entities continue to operate, Azania. And some of them, they may not have retrenched for financial, you know, struggle. They may have retrenched for, you know, for maximizing their profits.
Yes, as I was saying, it's about increasing efficiencies, and that speaks to maximization of profits. But Tulani, I just want to clarify, when you said it's happened to you twice, did you have to announce, give the person across from you the news that they're being retrenched twice?
Look, it is in my profession, so if you were to ask me how many number of people I've had to do it for, it's sad, I can't mention it, but it's in thousands of people.
Wow.
And all these things is things that you carry home yourself. And you can imagine that when it happens to you, so through experience, you are able to have, you know, yourself support to support yourself. But there's those people who don't have the capacity that I do. What happens to those people?
Yeah.
The company does not check up on them. You know, it's devastating. But the more, you know, our laws are very good. But one thing that it doesn't deal with is the after effect. And whether the Department of Labor has the capacity to say that so-and-so retrenched 1,000 people. What is happening in those people's lives?
Right. Tulani, thank you for that. Thank you for your input there. A quick comment from you, Claire, as we move on to other calls.
I absolutely understand what Tulani is saying. I think that, and this is why I'm actually doing this, this is why I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
The after effect, you know, companies never take care of that. What actually could happen, I don't want to say should, would be that companies should hire someone, preferably, to take people through this part of the retrenchment process so that they can re-enter the world and get going.
Yeah.
Because they don't. The process, you'll find a lot of articles out there on how to tie up the financials and the legalities and the logistics, but not how you deal with it emotionally, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's isolating, isn't it? Because
it's
you
very
then start
isolating.
To distance yourself from
Tulani, if you're still listening, sorry to interrupt, has it ever occurred to you, possibly, if you've been retrenched twice, that maybe you should be starting your own business.
That I wanted to ask you about that kick in the butt that you referred to, but he's gone.
That little kick in the butt is sometimes that is what we need to pay attention to.
Let's go to, is it Shady or Shadi calling from Benoni? Hello.
Hi guys, how are you?
Good, welcome.
Good, awesome. I just want to share my experience. So I was, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I was suspended last week Thursday. I was an emotional wreck for 8 hours, and that's it, just 8 hours, from the discussion until I got home. It's draining, but I liked what Claire said. Claire said, there's a path that you need to take. I opened a company in 2017, and it's only on Friday after the suspension that I said, this is it. Now there's no other time. I have to do this now, because now this is a sign. I've never, ever in my life been suspended or retrenched, but this was it.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you very much. This is just like the kick I needed. So like, Shady, just go on with your company.
Oh, beautiful.
It's an absolute pleasure.
As you vow that that's never going to happen to you again. You're going to take this destiny in your own hands.
I'll be the boss now.
Perfect.
Thank you very
much. Yes, you will.
Thank
well done.
Thank you. Wow. So there, the whatever sign or whatever this is screaming at you, you need to pay attention.
You absolutely do. And some people are very open to it. Others get very stuck in the depression of it, the stigma of it, the I'm now sitting alone and I'm not doing anything. And that's why I keep going back to the emotions. Guys, get them out. Because if you don't do something about that, depression and anxiety follow so easily. And, you know, make your life, if I can give you a couple of tips, get out. Get out of your house.
Let's actually take Buhle's call.
Okay,
because
sure.
Buhle says this is what she's going through now. Hi, Buhle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. So what's happening?
Good. Okay, so, you know, in the banking sector, I'm currently going through one now. Recently submitted my documents and stuff. So, yeah, it's an emotional time. I mean, not just for me, for the family, for everyone. You know, it's a huge change, I must say.
So, so you're still at work or serving out that period, or you're no longer going to work?
So it's not a requirement for you to go to work.
Yes, they just pay you out.
You can use their facilities to look for another job and whatnot. But one thing I must really say is that it has opened my eyes. You know, people don't, you shouldn't be comfortable and just say, I'm okay where I am, because these things happen. You know, you never think that it's going to come to you, but when it eventually does, it's like that reality check, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
all right. So, Buhle, thank you so much for sharing, because we're getting into the advice part of it. I hope you'll stay listening about what we should be doing, and maybe there'll be some things that you can consider at this time. And sorry to hear about this disruptive change in your life.
It's fine. Thank you, Azza.
Thank you, Buhle. There's another SMS, in fact, requesting that we podcast this conversation. This one saying, lovely show. I happen to be going through this, going through retrenchment right now. So what to do? You were telling us about the giving advice or tips on what we can do.
Yes. Look, if you go back to, the emotions, it's up there with divorce and death and moving. It's as big a change for you.
Yeah.
So you must regard it as that, and grieve. Sometimes jobs need to be grieved. So your mourning process requires kicking out those emotions. And then obviously, if you take the perspective of, okay, great, this has happened, you need to come to an acceptance, you need to come to some sort of peace with it, make peace with it, and then, right, what now?
Yeah.
And if you really start using your imagination and know that you are there to create what's next, your life goes on. It's not going to stop just because you've lost one job. To me, that's a sign going, right, move. Get out, move. And little things. When you go to UIF, because you must register for UIF, guys, it does pay you quite a bit of money over quite a few months.
Yeah.
Fairly depressing, sitting in lines and lines of people all looking depressed. Take a book, read, strike up a conversation, make it interesting. See what other people are doing. Don't sit at home. Get out. Indulge your hobbies. Find something.
I think the instinct is to just hide and to,
it
to
is.
Avoid social circles, avoid people.
Go out, find something inexpensive to do. A client recently hasn't found her way forward yet, but she wanted to study photography. So I said to her, fine, take your phone, go out, take plenty of photographs. Have you got an Instagram page? No. Set it up. offer a little bit of photography, anything to start that creative process moving.
Mm-hmm.
So the most important thing, release those emotions, get moving, and you're not life's victim here. In fact, my little slogan goes, relook, reboot, restart, or rebrand.
Yeah.
It's a chance to get going. In fact, it's a fresh start. If I look back, I think to myself, wow, I'm so much happier where I am now. So it can really be the beginning of something good. Yes. There's always a gift in something that looks absolutely revolting on the surface. Mm. And this truly, if you look at it that way, can be one of your biggest gifts in life.
Yes, we need to really hold on to that message, because ultimately, are these people that you've been on a journey with? Because I would think that someone who's been retrenched is thinking, oh, I've got to really start being lean, or they start to, everything starts to kind of shrink, you know. And they're not perhaps thinking coach, they're not thinking create, because creating means expand.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, we're thinking conserve, protect.
Yes, I think that's a very good point. Innately, we immediately go into conservation and survival mode.
Yeah.
And that's what you find. Well, I've certainly found that with a lot of people coming. So to open up into expansive mode, you find people resisting you.
Mm.
And actually, you've got to just keep working and being patient and trying that with people, because once they snap into it, like a couple of our callers have, they're on their way.
Yeah. Where do we find you, Claire?
You can find me. I can give you numbers.
No.
I can give you emails. Yes, numbers would be a bit dicey. Yeah.
Actually, you leave those with my producer.
You can Google my Facebook. You can Facebook my Facebook coaching page.
Okay.
Which is Vocalize Life.
Mm-hmm.
VocalIse. Separate word, life.
There we go.
Or you can email me on the same, vocalizeclaire@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Azania.
Thank you. That was Claire Gilchrist. Final SMS says, I was present on the last day of existence of Stutterfords, looking at the faces of all the employees who were just about to lose their jobs. It was heartbreaking and devastating. Till today, I'm still wondering what happened to all of them. I'm shattered. This comes from Tlhagale in Blue Hills.